From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 17th, 2017. And on this day, a new grading system has some Maine parents a little worried their kids won't be able to get into college. And we'll look at why Maine's congressional delegation is not keen on a new continuing resolution to fund the federal government. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the law offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Later this month, the temporary spending bill that funds the federal government, it's known as the Continuing Resolution, expires. But there are still 5 months left in the current fiscal year, so Congress needs to do something. But members of Maine's congressional delegation say they are concerned about discussions to simply extend the continuing resolution, or continue it, if you will, instead of passing an actual budget. Mal Leary has our story.
The scenario is all too familiar. Members of Congress can't agree on a budget, so they pass a continuing resolution that funds the government at the previous year's level. It's been 8 years since a budget was adopted before the new fiscal year got underway. And this year, despite the fact that Republicans control Congress and the White House, there's already been talk of a government shutdown. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain wants military spending increased in the next budget and has threatened a shutdown if a CR is passed instead. Republican Maine Senator Susan Collins serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee.
I always worry that one of my colleagues on one side of the aisle or other will use that as an opportunity to threaten a government shutdown. The only thing worse than a continuing resolution is a government shutdown.
Independent Senator Angus King agrees with Collins. He says a continuing resolution raises a whole host of problems that affect government agencies, as well as contractors who depend on work from the federal government.
A continuing resolution it doesn't do any good. It doesn't allocate in terms of current needs, and it's terrible for I work on armed services a lot. It's terrible for the military because they can't plan.
King says locking in last year's budget priorities does not allow regular government business to take place, like signing new contracts for goods or services, for example. First District Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, a Democrat who serves on the House Appropriations Committee, says failure to pass a budget would have a direct effect on Maine.
This isn't just about, you know, making sure that government pays for a few things that maybe don't affect your life. This is about slowing down the work on the next destroyer at Bath Iron Works, and it just doesn't make any sense. It costs more money to do it that way.
Senator Collins says without specific language authorizing them in the continuing resolution, no new contracts can be signed. And without those, she says there would be a ripple effect among hundreds of subcontractors for companies doing business with federal agencies.
It would affect the engine parts that are produced at the Pratt & Whitney plant in Berwick, in North Berwick. It would have an impact on our National Guard, because training and readiness would be affected. So the implications are very widespread.
Collins points out that it's not just the military that would be affected by a CR. Another example would be Acadia National Park, where maintenance and improvements could be delayed. Congress is currently on a 2-week break. That means when members return, they'll only have 4 days to pass a budget bill before current funding authority runs out. Collins says some of the regular budget bills are ready to be acted on, but Pingree is concerned there'll be an attempt to add entirely new spending to the funding bill.
The concern is now that the president wants to slip in some things into this budget that it will be very hard to get agreement, certainly from the Democrats, but some of the Republicans too, things like $6 billion to start building the wall, things that, you know, could have a huge impact on our next budget.
That budget is supposed to take effect next October 1st, but little work has been done on it. Republican 2nd District Congressman Bruce Poliquin has expressed concern in the past about use of continuing resolutions, but did not respond to a request for an interview for this story. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Tom Perez, are kicking off a unity tour this evening in Portland. Fred Bever has details.
The nine-city tour is seen as an attempt to bridge the gap between the progressives Sanders energized during the presidential election and the more establishment section of the Democratic Party that backed Hillary Clinton's failed bid. Portland and Cumberland County were fertile ground for both candidates and could provide a friendly forum for the effort to unite against President Trump's policies. But it's not necessarily an easy sell. Paul Drynan, a strong Sanders supporter and activist in progressive politics, says he is going to skip tonight's rally at the State Theater in Portland.
I am one of the voters who feels terribly disenfranchised by the DNC. I believe that they coronated Hillary Clinton and they ignored Bernie Sanders, who was the obvious choice for the party.
While Perez and Sanders try to send a message via their joint roadshow, divisions continue to rise to the surface, including over whether Sanders will provide his voter contact list to the party, which he so far hasn't done. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Recently on this program, I spoke with the editor of a story in the Lewiston Sun Journal about a woman's ride from Florida to Maine with a private prisoner transport company. The company says it has investigated the claim that it mistreated 34-year-old Megan Quinn of Lewiston last year during the five-day trip. Tennessee-based Prisoner Transport Services told the Lewiston Sun Journal that its internal affairs investigator found no evidence for the claim. Patty White has details.
The Lewiston Sun-Journal reports that Prisoner Transport Services recently sent a letter to the Androscoggin County Jail, where Quinn is serving an 8-month sentence for forgery, denying allegations that it violated policies or procedures while transporting Quinn. Last month, the paper published Quinn's account of being locked in a cage during a van transport from Florida to Maine. Quinn said that, among other things, she was forced to relieve herself in front of male inmates and to wear soiled clothing after drivers refused to stop to let her use a bathroom. According to the Sun Journal, after viewing the letter from Prisoner Transport Services, the Androscoggin County District Attorney's Office will not contract with the company until it's certain that the allegations Quinn made did not occur. Several other Maine counties have said they will not use the company or are considering other options. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Finally today, right now, high school seniors around Maine are waiting nervously for their acceptance letters from colleges. And their chances depend in part on grades, as we know. But as educators in Maine continue their transition to a new state-mandated proficiency-based diploma system, some have swapped out the traditional grades of A, B, C, D, E, F with ones, twos, and threes. And some parents are concerned that could affect their kids' chances of being accepted to college. Robbie Feinberg has our story.
South Portland High School sophomore Mac Safer-Mang isn't one to speak out too much. He's quiet and deliberate with his words. But when his school moved to a new system of grading with ones, twos, and threes, he grew frustrated.
If you don't get a four, then you get a 3 out of 4, which is a lot lower mathematically than a 4 out of 4. And if it's not always clear how you can get to a 4, then it makes it hard to get a grade that's satisfying.
The new grades are part of South Portland's transition to a proficiency-based diploma, a new state requirement that will go into effect for the class of 2021. The idea is that for students to graduate, they have to be proficient in up to 8 subject areas. And while some schools are keeping A's and B's to measure that proficiency, others like South Portland are now using a 1-4 system, with 3 meaning proficient. Safer Meng and his family don't like the new system for a variety of reasons. Max's mom, Dara Safer, isn't necessarily worried for her son, who's near the top of his class. But she is concerned that by distilling an entire class's worth of content down to just a 2 or a 3, colleges won't be able to really judge what a student knows.
And that more detailed and nuanced information that a regular grading system or traditional grading system would capture is now just being whitewashed over. And so how are you going to get the information that those kids need to get what they need to succeed if it's so nonspecific and general and vague?
Safer isn't alone. Administrators from across the state say this is the worry that parents bring up over and over again. Will colleges understand these new grades? Eric Waddell, the principal of Kittery's TRAPE Academy, says he still hears it all the time from parents.
Genuinely concerned. Like, oh my gosh, are you do we need to think about going to a different school?
But according to those in the college ranks, parents don't need to be worried yet. Chris Richards, the director of recruitment at the University of Maine at Orono, says colleges have always dealt with unusual grading systems from private or progressive schools.
They may have 5 different grading scales at one school. One's a 7-point scale, one's a 5, one's a 4. And you have to decipher all of that and work through that to make the best choice for a candidate.
To do that, he says, his university relies on a lot more than just grades. Extracurriculars, letters of recommendation, and standardized test scores are all incorporated too. And Richard says counselors are also in constant contact with area high schools to stay up to date so they can understand these new grading systems and accurately assess students.
So there's a lot of phone calls.
Even with that reassurance, though, some questions remain. A recent report by USM Center for Education Policy, Applied Research, and Evaluation found that some admissions counselors feel that without enough clarity, the new systems could adversely affect some high-achieving or borderline students. In South Portland, Curriculum Director Rebecca Brown says her district is wrestling with this right now. She says under the school's new grading system, a 3.0 GPA means something much different than a few years ago. She says a 3 used to mean a B, pretty good. But she says under the school's new system, that 3 now represents a much higher level of learning. So currently, the district is reshaping its school profile that it sends to colleges to let them know what kinds of grades make a South Portland student a high achiever.
The student is in the top 10% of their class, even though the score may appear lower than what a college would expect from a student in the top 10% of their class.
At the University of Southern Maine, Director of Admissions Andrew King says his team is working to compile all this information from districts across Maine into a large database that it hopes to use to accurately compare these new grading systems. It's a lot of work, he says, but he thinks it'll lead to fairer outcomes for students.
It's better for making that decision, but it will take longer.
And King and other educators say the new system could actually provide a fuller picture of college applicants.
This is essentially an exemplar that we'll be using here.
In Kittery, TRAPE Academy principal Eric Waddell shows an example of a transcript his school is planning to adopt. He says that instead of just showing a list of classes and grades, students now receive scores for individual aspects of each subject, as well as for their behavior and work ethic. Waddell says by separating everything out, colleges can more easily see a student's strengths and weaknesses.
First of all, we're being very clear about what we want our students to know or be able to do. We're also being clear about what do we want our students to be like.
Ultimately, these transcripts will vary for every district across the state. And while many parents continue to have questions about this transition, colleges say that with enough communication, truly qualified students shouldn't have a problem getting admitted. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, April 17th, 2017. Thanks to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.